Most recently, the Department of Statistics has released some key findings on key household income trend for 2025. Here, I do not want to bore you down as what has already been reported in the media. Here, let me focus on household income and the relationship to property prices. After all, this is a property channel. I have to talk about property, right? According to the report, among resident household, the median monthly household market income grew by 7.7% in nominal terms, from 11,558 in 2024 to 12,446 in 2025. After adjusting for inflation, this translates to a real income growth of 6.8% in 2025. So, the big question is, how does this income growth compare with property prices? Let's start with household at the medium income level. It is fair to say that this group is most likely looking at HDB flats rather than private properties. If you look back to 2020, the HDB resale price index stood at 138.1. Fast forward to 2025, when the medium household income reached 12,446, the index has risen to 203.6. Between 2020 and 2025, medium household income increased by about 37%, while HDB resale price surged by 47%. Heng ah, fellow Singaporeans still have BTO flats to rely on. Otherwise, with the same income growth over this period, many households will actually be worse off, especially given how sharply resale price jumped after COVID-19. This also explains why the authority has been ramping up BTO supply in recent years. The Department of Statistics has mainly focused on the median monthly household market income on its report. They also mentioned on the amount of government transfer and government taxes for the different household income. In this chart, it has clearly mentioned that the lowest group received the most government subsidies and pay the less taxes. Well, my own matrimonial home used to be a humble 3-room HDB flat. It is indeed very true that I received a lot of government grants from SNCC rebates, lower property taxes to offset in utility bills. On the other end of the spectrum, those earning the top 10% percentile receive the least subsidies but pay the most taxes. On this, I also understand where you are coming from. What to do? You just have to treat this as nation building. Now, let's move up the income ladder and look at the household between the 70 and 90 percentile and assess how they are coping relative to the private property market. For household in the 70 percentile, monthly income rose from 14,000 in 2020 to 18,000 in 2025, an increase of 29%. If we assume this group is targeting private condominiums only, the comparison becomes very uncomfortable. Over the same period, the non-landed private residential price index increased by 36%. Here, can we safely say that households in the 70 percentile are struggling to keep pace with rising condo prices too? Lastly, let's examine households in the 90% percentile. Their income increased from 24,000 in 2020 to 30,000 in 2025, representing a 22% growth. Assuming this group aspire towards landed properties, the gap becomes even more pronounced. The landed residential property price index rose by a staggering 46% during the same period. This suggests that even higher income households are finding it challenging to keep up with the pace of landed home prices. To sum up, when we compare income growth with property price growth, medium income household or the 50 percentile face an 11% gap. For the 70 percentile household, they face a 7% gap. And for the higher income household, face a much larger 23% gap. In short, the rise in household income isn't a great deal after all, if property price keep rising too. Here, back to my title, household income up, property price up more. Are Singaporeans really better off? Here, what are your thoughts on this? Do you think I talk sense here? Let me know your thoughts in the comment section below.